All right. When I started this, I thought, well, everybody's going to really be excited about this. I always, when I first started reading the Bible, I read 1 Corinthians, and it just thrilled me. So turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I thought, well, we'll study spiritual gifts, and people will get excited about that, you know, and they'll see if they can find their spiritual gifts, and they'll get busy. But it just really hadn't turned out as good as I thought it would. But you're here, so we'll continue studying tonight. It'll be the last lesson in spiritual gifts. And I said there were so many misleadings and misunderstandings about the spiritual gifts. I want to kind of help people. But, you know, I found out a long time ago that not everybody wants to help. Like I had one lady tell me, I showed her the Bible about what I'm going to teach you tonight on the tongues confusion. And she just flat out told me, she said, well, I don't care what that says. I know what I experienced. And I said, well, I don't know what I experienced. I know what that says. Yeah. And I'm going to trust what that says because my experience has changed and this change is not. But I was really shocked that she would say such a thing. But as I've gone on through the years, I found out that's usually the way it is. When people have doctrines that they're wrong about, it's a lot of times it's because that they want to be wrong. It gives them pleasure somehow, and they want to hold on to that. And they get offended if you try to help them in that area. But we're going to finish it up tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you look at verses 1 through 11, we'll rehearse that one more time. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away with these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations. In other words, ways to practice those gifts. But the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. In other words, if what you think is your gift does not help anybody else, God didn't give you that. God didn't give you that. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another the diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, I'm not going to rehearse all of these, but we discussed every bit of this and all of these gifts and things. And what we really came down to, a lot of these gifts were only because these people had no Bible. They had an Old Testament, but they didn't have a New Testament. They had a Bible, they had Old Testament, but this was the New Testament church being formed, and they didn't know how to do that. God was guiding, and it took miracles, and it took great works, and it took great things. And I read to you where the Jews require a sign, and since the first church was Jewish only, matter of fact, God had to send them persecution to break the Jewish church up to make them go out to the Gentiles. To get them out of Jerusalem. Church was getting so big, God had to break up the church in order to make them go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, we talked about all that. But there's a lot of misunderstanding about this. If you go down to verse 10, to another working of miracles, another prophecy, another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues. In other words, different kinds of tongues. Now, there's a lot of misleadings and misunderstandings in this. And they're popular in a lot of Christian circles. And I know a lot of people watch Jimmy Swagger. And I love the old man. Here I am calling somebody an old man. when I first got saved and our church began to wane and it began to get kind of cool off on Sunday nights after church, I went home and watched Jimmy Swaggart to get me fired up. I would. And I like his singing. and I like their worship. But he teaches unknown tongues. And that being the proof, the evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. None of those words are in the New Testament. There's no such thing as evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. No proof. The proof is a changed life and power to witness. And as you study scriptures, you'll see that. But it never says you have to prove or have evidence that the Holy Spirit has filled you. Now, we know He possessed us the day we were saved. I mean, simple Bible, Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open the door, I'll come into him." So he didn't himself physically, he still has a physical body. His Holy Spirit came into us that day. Now that was unheard of before the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit didn't live in people, he came on people. And then he'd leave them after their work was done. So, a lot of misunderstanding in Christian circles. Some because of false teaching. They seek an experience of speaking in tongues instead of the true purpose of being filled with the Holy Spirit, which is to win souls. Acts chapter 2 is a good example of it. So I had to do some basic studying. A lot of people, because of that, are repulsed by these people. So they don't even talk about nor seek being filled with the Holy Spirit because they look at the way these others misdo it and misteach it, and they look at that as fanaticism or wildfire. And good Bible-believing Christians don't seek the Holy Spirit's fullness because they've heard so much teaching on tongues. I'm not against people that speak in tongues. I've got friends. One of my best friends was here Sunday night. He slipped in. I didn't even know it. And he uses that. But there's some good people that's been misled. I really believe that. You see, it's kind of like our politics today. In order for the devil to get us sidetracked, he'll shake something over here to keep us busy and keep our attention when we ought to be over here doing something. But he's got a sidetrack. And the devil's good at that. He's good at sidetracking us from the will of God by dangling a little carrot over here. So the second reason that I want to teach on this is because there's such widespread difference of opinion among honest people. I thought it deserved a study. I thought it deserved an explanation. There's good people wrapped up in this stuff. So this is what I thought. I'll not quote nor note anyone's experience. I'll only quote or note scriptures. Because it doesn't matter what our experience was, what does the scripture say?
Yeah.
A lot of people say, "Well, I got saved." I say, "How you know that you got saved?" They said, "I felt it." I said, "You can't go by that. Feelings change, and feelings lie to you." Well, when I got baptized, I got chill bumps all up and back in my neck, and my hair stood up on my arms. Well, that could have been cold water. And you mistake it for a spiritual experience. What does the Bible say? Well, preacher, I was raised in a church that taught speaking in unknown or angelic tongues and having prayer languages. Yeah, but can you give me scripture? What does the scripture say? Now, I'm not against those people. A lot of them have done wonderful works. There's been a lot of good Pentecostal Church of God type people who have done great things for God over the years, and I'm not preaching against them. I just want to know what the Bible says.
Amen.
I thought about this. I had to write it down and remember. How many of y'all remember? Well, I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand, but most of you are old enough to remember Dragnet, the police detective show in black and white, made in the 1950s. There's a guy on there. His name was Joe Friday. He was one of the detectives. You remember him? And he'd get to talking. He'd have out his little notebook, you know, and he was asking questions, you know. And this guy said, well, I saw him steal it, and he looked like a crook anyway. He was dressed like a crook. And he said, whoa, 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 we just want facts. And then he'd start asking more questions. They said, well, he smelled funny, and I was suspicious. Whoa, no, no, we just need the facts, sir. That's all we want is the facts. And that's the way it is when you study the Bible and study doctrine. You want facts. We don't need all the fluff. We just want to know what thus saith the Lord says. I want to be a Joe Friday. And they said, well, I got chill bumps all over me, and I started speaking in another language. Yeah, but I want to know the facts. I don't want to know what you experienced or how you felt. When Swan came up here Sunday morning, and I prayed with him, I gave him some scriptures quietly. I said, now, if you die right now according to the scriptures, where would you go? He said, heaven. I said, amen. I said, but you know what? You're going to leave out here today, and by tomorrow morning, the devil's going to tell you you made a fool of yourself and that it ain't real, and he's going to try to deceive you and lie to you. I said, you need to know what the Bible says, and go by what the Bible says, not what you feel, because you feel real good right now. But next week when he attacks, it ain't going to feel real good. I want to know the facts. So as I studied this, I wrote down some facts. Number one. In Acts chapter 2, look at it. This is one that they all like to read to you. And by the way, you never saw anybody that when they, like me, when I first got saved, I wanted it all. When I first got saved, I wanted it all. If you could show me something I didn't have, I wanted it. I mean, spiritually speaking. And you didn't have to browbeat me or overteach me. Acts chapter 2. So they'd read me this. Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak, underline this, Galileans. And how hear we every man in our own tongue? Wherein we were born. Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, in Pontus, in Asia, in Phrygia, in Pamphylia, in Egypt, in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, that means Gentiles that had become Jews, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Now, here's confusion. People don't want to understand or listen to what's plain English. They want to mystify a word and make a whole doctrine on that one word, tongue. Well, if you receive a gift spoken with other tongues, so I looked it up in Strong's Concordance. I'm from Lancaster. I'm not the smartest man in the room, but I know how to use dictionaries and concordances. So when I have a problem with a word, I look it up in a dictionary, and I look it up in a concordance. And so I looked it up in Strong's Concordance. And in the New Testament, it has that word tongues listed 50 times in the New Testament alone, 50 times. 16 verses refer to a literal human tongue. You know, the physical organ that James talked so much against. once in Acts 2:3, it's used as an appearance of cloven tongues of fire, an appearance that God put over these 120 men, 120 disciples, as proof to these Jews that day at the Feast of Pentecost, which they had every year. The Pentecostals act like it only happened one time. The Feast of Pentecost act every year. And so God had to miraculously give these Jews a sign, because I read to you last week, I think Romans 1:22, the Jews seeketh after a sign, because they got the right book, they've got the right God, They've got the right ceremonies, right tabernacle, right temple. They've got all that right, right sacrifices. So they need a sign to prove that God was doing something different. One time. 33 times, it means language. Language. Now that might be Arabic. It might be, it wouldn't be Hebrew because they all spoke Hebrews. Even though they all lived in different countries, they were all Jews, so they all spoke Hebrew. But they had a second language, and that was the language of the country that they came from. If it was a Roman, they probably spoke Latin, you know. And so 33 times it means language. Not once, I looked it up, not once is it listed as a heavenly language that only God understands. Not once. But that's what they tell me. It's never something unknown to mankind. But they tell me it is. A little Bible knowledge will ruin a whole lot of good preaching. Acts chapter 2, if you go back and read it, it was human languages. We hear them in our own tongues preaching. It was as much to hearing as it was to speaking, because they were hearing them in their own language, tongues. Now that's an old English word, tongues. Go to the front of the Bible, you'll see the introduction to the King James Bible says that they translate it from the original tongues. It's an old English word, means language. It helped people if they just learned the English language. Amen. I mean, dumb as I am from south side of Lancaster, it helped people to just learn the English language. It never says unknown. Never says unknown. Now, it may be unknown. Once we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it may be unknown to the hearer what is being spoken, but it's never listed as an unknown tongue or language. Now, when we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you'll see they were misusing it. And chapter 14 is not how to use tongues in the church. It's how to not use tongues in the church. The whole first book of 1 Corinthians was a how to not book, because they were doing everything wrong. We was come from Georgia one time when Suzanne lived in Woodstock. And we had to come up, I think it's Highway 444, 441 or something up through there. And there was a Corinthian Baptist church. And it said, pastor needed. And I said, I would not pastor that church. Those people are messed up. Paul had to write them two letters to straighten them out. But it's never unknown. And never is it unintelligible. Never. No example is, and there ain't that many examples I'm fixing to show you. And no example of another language did it ever say unintelligible or jabbering. Not one. And some people say, well, you know, the Holy Ghost prays for us in utterances that cannot. But that's Him speaking. That ain't you. And that ain't coming through you. He's praying because you can't pray. Amen. So it ain't coming through you. It's going directly to the throne of God. Oh my goodness. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Acts chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. And I'll move faster than Kelly, okay? I love that guy. I'll tell you, he was on, that fellow left Sunday night. He said, was that an old-fashioned Church of God preacher? I said, no, but he was good. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Now, think about it. The Galileans were accused of being, these men were accused of being ignorant and unlearned men. They were fishermen. They were public sinners, publicans. They were tax collectors. You didn't even have to know how to read and write. All you had to know how to do was count to be a tax collector. And these other people that came for the Feast of Pentecost were amazed that these men could speak their language. They've never left Galilee. They didn't have buses and trains and all that stuff. They didn't take trips. Amen. So, never and unknown or unintelligible. Always that other language was intelligible. You could tell what they were saying because it was not unknown. It was just another language. Only three places in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 11. I read that to you. Now, Acts chapter 10. We're talking about places where speaking in tongues was actually done. Acts chapter 10. I hope I'm not boring you because this kind of stuff, when I first got saved, I just soaked this stuff up. Acts chapter 10, look at verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word, which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which were believed were astonished as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. How did these Jews know that the Gentiles had received the Holy Spirit? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now that was in Caesarea. And those Jews living in Caesarea heard these Gentiles speak in other languages. Undoubtedly, it must have been Hebrew or something that these Jews understood wherever they were from. And they said, they're looking at these Gentiles saying, how does these ignorant, unlearned Gentiles know this language? It doesn't say it was unknown. They saw, they knew the language or they wouldn't have said that. Y'all see that? So again, that was the proof from God to some Jews in Caesarea that the Gentiles now also could be saved and be filled with the Spirit of God. The Jews require a sign. Now turn to Acts 19. Acts 19. By the way, in Acts chapter 10, that was Cornelius' house. He was an Italian soldier. All right. Acts chapter 19, look at verse 1. It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, these people were already there, and he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now this is, he's talking to Gentiles. And they said unto him, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. These are Gentiles, knew nothing about the Old Testament either. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. You remember I taught on John's baptism. John the Baptist come to lead the way for Christ. And he baptized the baptism of repentance, not salvation. And they're saying, we have repented of our sins and turned to God away from sin, and John has baptized us. Well, they were believers in the coming Savior, not the Savior that had already come. They hadn't even heard of the Savior yet, much less the Holy Ghost, see? And look what happened. Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, after John. That is on Christ Jesus. He told them, you need to believe on Jesus Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You see that? And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. They preached. Now here it is again. Gentiles getting saved, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke other languages. Y'all get that? It didn't say unknown. It didn't say jabber. It didn't say angelic. It said language, tongue, that they didn't know. So therefore, you got to remember who's preaching to them. You got to remember that Paul, Apollos, Peter, all of them were Jews. And here's Paul. Now, he has evidence that these Gentiles, yes, have also received the Holy Spirit. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Right.
this was the evidence that the Gentile church was being formed outside of the Jewish religion, and it was a sign to the Jew, man, these people speak in our language or somebody else's language, you know, something like that. But never unknown or unintelligible. Why would God have a man speak an unintelligible tongue? And it says that they prophesied, and if you're going to preach, you're going to do it in a language people can understand, or it's a waste of time. I'm not against people that misunderstand, but I think, let's just stick to the facts, sir. But wait a minute, you don't know what happened to me. The Holy Ghost fell, and I shook, and I fell out on the floor, and I woke up speaking in an unknown language. Let's just stick to the facts. I don't want to know what you felt or what you saw. I want to know what thus saith the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the Gentiles, in Acts chapter 10, were soldiers from other nations, and they spoke in other languages. You understand this?
Yes.
Okay. Now, in chapter verse 7 of Acts chapter 19, if you look at it, and all the men were about 12. They were 12 men in Ephesus, and they were probably from different nationalities. This was a Gentile city. It was a commerce city. It was a place where a lot of business was done and a lot of people. It was kind of like our nation. We're a melting pot, and that was a melting pot. And it could have been that 12 men were speaking 12 different languages. But they're not unknown. Somebody knew who they were. Now, in chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, let's get back over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Man, it's time to quit. No, I've got more. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, follow after charity. Now, why would he say that? Well, in verse 13, he's talking about spiritual gifts. And verse 1, he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. He said, you folks bragging on something that ain't as good as what I want you to get, which is charity, agape love, the giving out kind of love, not expecting anything. There's no greater miracle than that. In verse 13, he says, and now, he says in verse 10, 11, 12, those things are going to pass away. And now abide a faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Chapter 14, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. In other words, you tell forth the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's what you ought to be praying for, that you'd have love enough that you'll give out the gospel. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, now that doesn't mean angelic, it means unknown to the people that are there. It's a language, we've already established a language, but it's an unknown language to the people in that church. For instance, what if I went in around town somewhere and went to one of these Mexican churches and started preaching? It would be an unknown tongue to these people.
That's right.
It wouldn't be an angelic tongue. I mean, I am from South Carolina, there's nothing angelic about it. But it would be another tongue or an unknown tongue to those people. So he said, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God, for no man understandeth him. In other words, he's saying, if you're speaking in an unknown language to people, God can understand that. He understands all the languages. But you're not any help to other people. They don't understand you. So why in the world would you want to jump up in a church and speak in an unknown language? You're not helping anybody. God, you make it up if you want to. God will understand it. But that's not what these gifts are about. They're about others. See? Now, but he that prophesieth, you remember we talked about that gift of prophecy, is no longer foretelling the future, but now it's forthtelling the truth in the New Testament. He that foretells the truth, prophesy, speaking unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. In other words, you speak it in a language they can understand, because verse 5 says, he that speaketh in the unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifies the church. Now, you can speak in German in here and quote scripture. We ain't going to understand it. You'll have a good time, but we ain't going to get nothing out of it. I dare say Spanish. If you go beyond taco and tortilla or something like that, we have no idea what you're saying. Now, you may be having a good time, but we ain't getting nothing. Did you just speak in tongues, brother? I think you said, oh, I'm sorry, that was Yankee. It wasn't tongue. Look at this. Verse 5, he said, I would that you all speak with tongues, other languages. He said, I wish everybody in here could speak German and Spanish and French and all these different languages so you could go and witness to everybody. But rather that you prophesy, foretell the truth of the death, burial, and resurrection he's talking about. For greater is he that prophesieth than him that speaketh in tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive the edifying. Now, I'd rather have some person that was illiterate, kind of like I am sometimes, illiterate, can't read nor write, stand up and proclaim the goodness of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd rather him or her do that in a church service than some guy or gal stand up and speak German or Spanish or Portuguese that I cannot understand. And I certainly don't want them to speak in something they're making up. You're wasting our time. Amen?
Amen.
A lady came in here one day. She said, well, I want you to know I grew up Pentecostal. I speak in tongues. I said, not here. We don't have an interpreter. And I've had people get mad and leave this church over that stuff. And I don't want them to leave. I want them to stay so we can help them. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, languages, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophecy or by doctrine? He said, if I speak to you in another language, and unless you understand that it's doctrine or revelation or something, what's it going to help you? And even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself for battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue language, words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what's spoken? For you speak into the air. Man, it don't take a rocket science to figure this stuff out. Just read the Bible. Listen. It's even discouraged in chapter 14, verse 23 and 24. Look at it. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place and all speak with languages, tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? But if all prophesy, foretell the good news, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all and he is judged at all, of all. You see what he's saying? He's saying, now don't do this. Don't everybody, and I have to be careful. I don't want to offend people watching this. I don't want to offend you that you grew up that way, or your parents or grandparents did. But I've been in two churches where they practiced this. One is a little boy and my retarded sister Judy. Me and my little brother and Jerry went to a church that practiced this. And we didn't go to church. And she was emotionally handicapped. That was her problem. She was emotionally handicapped. And it scared us to death. She started screaming and crying. These people were dabba-dabba-dabba-dabba. And there wasn't but 25 or 30 of them. And all of them was doing it. One of them come over and grabbed her and said, you're under conviction. You need to come get saved. She wasn't under conviction. She was scared. And I was a little boy. I was scared. My brother was scared. And when we left there, we had no desire to go back to church. And Paul said, even if that was real, which it was not, They weren't speaking other languages. They were making stuff up. And it felt good to them. But nobody was getting saved off of that. Nobody was being edified off of that. They were edifying themselves. It made them feel real good. Look what I got. Look how powerful I am. Look at my gift, you know. But it didn't help us. It hurt us. It's referred to as unknown simply because their foreign language is unknown to the hearer, not the speaker. Let me ask you something. If this is a gift, this unknown language, as they call it, this heavenly angelic language, whatever they want to call it, if this is a gift to help people get saved, why in America do people do it who speak English, and then you go to Mexico and people do it who speak Spanish, and you go to Portugal and people do it who speak Portuguese? Who are they talking to? There's nobody there. They all speak the same language. Why would God give them an unknown language? It's discouraged. Let me give you an example. Mike, where are you from? Ohio?
Illinois.
Lord forgive me for that.
Michigan.
Michigan, okay. And you're from originally Chester. You're originally from Chester. About the same thing. South Carolina. Yeah. And you're from Pennsylvania. Now what if all four of these guys stood up and started speaking in their original languages? We'd all be confused. It wouldn't be the same. We've taught them since they've been here how to speak English. Jeffrey's catching on. He's writing a book. Amen. To help those other foreigners coming down here. He's going to make a lot of money. They didn't know what hen's teeth were. They didn't know what a long-tailed cat in a rocking chair factory was. They didn't know that. But what if they spoke German, Spanish, Italian, and Greek, and they all stood up and started talking? It'd be total confusion. He says that's confusion. That's not revelation. That's confusion. See? But somebody's convinced these people that that's the way to show that they've got a new revelation or a greater revelation of God or a greater experience with God or a closer experience with God is by doing this. And some honest, well-meaning people do it and don't know that they have been mistaught. You know, this is all they know. I remember Brother Alan Biggers, that's who was here Sunday night, he told me one time him and his wife started coming to my church and he said, you've got the gift. I said, yeah, I do. I got saved, March 5th, 1970. I have the gift of eternal life. He said, yeah, I know that. He said, but you've got the gift of the Holy Spirit. I said, on occasions, I do. On occasions. God empowers me to preach. I'm not this kind of person. My wife, kids, I tell you, I'm not this kind of person. And God will empower me to preach. And things happen. But that's not me, that's Him. Yes. And he said, yeah, but you're full of the Holy Ghost. I said, I know what you mean, but not the way you mean it. I agree with you. I don't speak in tongues. He said, well, you could. I said, it wouldn't be real if I did. And he still likes my preaching. And being filled with the Holy Ghost. God fills us with the Holy Ghost. As you go back to Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to finish this next week. Go back to Acts chapter 2. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and they all spoke the Word of God. And Acts chapter 5 says some were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the Word of God with great boldness. It is to get people saved. God fills us with His Spirit to give us courage, to give us power, to give us confidence that we might witness to other people, preach to people, teach to people, whatever, minister to people so that they might see God and hear God in us and on us and they'll want what we have. Those 120 speaking on the day of Pentecost, thousands got that saved that day because of what those men had, not because they spoke in anything unknown or angelic,
amen,
but because the power of God was on them. Devil shaking that carrot over there. Boy, this makes you feel good. People think more of you if you do this. This will be proof you're saved if you do this. And God says, stick to the facts, son. We only want the facts. We want the facts, son. I got so concerned. I've been saved about 2 years, I think. Maybe three, I don't know. But I'd read John R. Rice's book on being filled with the Holy Spirit, and you ought to read that. Simple yet profound. And I'd read others, and I'd heard preachers preach about baptism, the Holy Ghost, filled with the Holy Spirit, Moody, people like that. But then I'd go home, I'd listen to Swagger. None of the others talked about that evidence. They said the evidence was you'll do something for God. I went home and I shut the door and I opened my Bible. I said, God, I need to be filled with the Spirit of God. You call me to preach, I cannot preach. I can't teach. Nobody's going to listen to me. I fumble and I bumble and I mumble. And without you, it's just going to be a waste of time. And if it takes gibbering and some jibber-jabber, I'll do it. And this man over here at First Assembly told me just start talking like a baby and the Holy Spirit will take over. So I started talking like a baby. Abba, 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 abba. And the Holy Spirit convicted me in my heart. And I remembered what John Rice taught and Howells and all the rest of them said, you ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost and then you expect Him to do it. And you receive that just like you did salvation by faith. And you get up and you go about the work God's called you to do. And you'll see the evidence. That's you won't right. experience it. You'll see what God does. And I said, God, forgive me. Just forgive me. I shouldn't have tried to have an experience. I should have tried to have faith.
Yes.
And ever since then, every time I got to do something before I preach, every Sunday before I preach in there, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. And because without you, I can do nothing. Now, I'm nobody. We're all nobodies. But with Him, He can do something with us. Next week, I'm going to show you what He said to do in the church in the case of people that think they have to do it. Other languages, though, not unknown, but these that think they have speaking other languages. And we'll talk more about that next week. Thank y'all for coming. And listen, a person that's not saved shouldn't even worry about this. You know, salvation is what they need. But a lot of people are being misled, and they think that this will make them saved. Did you know Mormons have a practice of speaking in tongues as part of their religion? Did you know Jehovah's Witnesses have speaking in tongues as part of their religion? Did you know there's African tribes and South American tribes that the evidence of their religion is speaking in tongues, unknown tongues, angelic, demonic, whatever you want to call it. So I just want to know the facts. And by faith, I'm going to follow the facts. Now, you can get mad at me. I'm not against you. If you want to be against me, that's fine. I'm not mad at you. If you do it, I'm not mad at you. You can't make me mad at you. But it's how can two walk together except they be agreed? And people come in and they say, man, this place is full of the Holy Ghost, and the singing is full of the Holy Ghost, and the preaching is full of the Holy Ghost, and these people have the Holy Ghost on them, and then we don't do what they think proves we have the Holy Spirit, and then they start finding things wrong. And usually it starts right here. And that's fine, because that's my job. But we don't need any proof. We need faith. Let's stand. Father, thank you.